Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will present a top 10 soul and pop hit by the seven-man group that jammed on stage with Jimi Hendrix during an amazing performance in Soho. Unbeknownst to them all, that performance turned out to take place on the last night of Jimmy's short life. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will hear a jumpy single by a Jacksonville, Florida native that was released on the Gone Records label by a talented vocalist that retired from active performing when she married a songwriter that composed songs recorded by Elvis Presley, Roy Orbison, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Conway Twitty. Later, we will appreciate a popular MTV single whose video featured two Beatles, two Heartbreakers, three Wilburys, and four record producers. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track at number 1, we will examine a universally loved track by an American group that mixed elements of early rock, the British Invasion, and even classical music from the Baroque period to produce this masterpiece that seemed to be the audio equivalent of a sad smile. But first, just as we do each week, we dig into this week's countdown with a single that, at some point during its chart life, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then lost their shine. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we start with a top 10 hit from 1973, which was produced by the celebrated session guitarist from The Wrecking Crew, who played that famous riff on the Monkees' first number one single, Last Train to Clarksville. The duo that wrote and recorded this catchy single originally moved from their native Texas to Los Angeles to join the party band The Champs, who had already hit number one with their classic Tequila before these two fellows joined. The recording sessions that resulted in this single included instrumentalists Jeff Beccaro and David Page of Toto, Jim Gordon from Derek and the Dominoes, Wilton Felder from the Crusaders, and on backing vocals, England Dan and John Ford Coley.
Precious stone, part of earth, where heaven is rained on. Makes no difference where you are, day or night time, you're like a shining star.
Oh,
Spending a week at number 40 on their way up to number 6 in Billboard, number 6 in Record World, and number 8 in Cashbox. That was the duo made up of Jim Seals and Dash Crofts, better known as Seals and Crofts, and one of their singles that sure did shine, Diamond Girl.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
At number 20, we have a track by Ian Matthews, an artist that we profiled about a year ago when we played an album track of his that was arranged and produced by Michael Nesmith. It was later covered note for note by the Eagles. Well, a couple of years after his Elektra album with Nesmith, Ian experienced a number 13 hit on the Mushroom label with the song Shake It, which incidentally we believe should have been a top 10. After that success, Ian recorded the album Spot of Interference, which was released in England by Rockberg Records and in the U.S. on the high-profile RSO label. Produced by Sandy Robertson, who enlisted the assistance of drummer Bob Henrit of Argent, the album sounded catchy, melodic, and punchy, but it didn't sell very well. Of course, we don't mind if its chart action in 1980 was sluggish. Here is our favorite selection from Ian Matthews' Spot of Interference album, She May Call You Up Tonight. With an album track that should have, at the very least, reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World, that was Ian Matthews and She May Call You Up Tonight.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have the highest charting studio single ever released by the British rock star that, between 1976 and 1998, held the record for the biggest selling live album of all time. His reign lasted at the top 22 years. Coincidentally, Garth Brooks, the artist that surpassed this artist's live album sales, has held the top spot now for 22 years as well. But back to the studio single at number 11. While this multi-instrumentalist could only sing, play guitar, and run that guitar through a talk box for his live performances, in the recording studio, he covered quite a bit more territory. For the sessions that resulted in this hit record, he played electric guitar, acoustic guitar, slide guitar, bass guitar, piano, organ, synthesizer, clavinet, harmonica, percussion. He handled the lead vocals, and of course, he used that famous talk box of his. While it may seem like he did everything on his own, he did have help on the background vocals on this song from Stanley Sheldon, Bob Mayo, and even Mick Jagger.
I'm in you.
spending a week at number 11 in Billboard on his way up to number 2 in Billboard, number 1 in Cashbox, and number 3 in Record World. That was former Humble Pie lead guitarist Peter Frampton and his biggest-selling studio single, I'm In You, released on A&M Records in 1977. At number 10, we have a track from the 1979 debut album by the four-man melodic rock act that originated in Tulsa, 2020. Music writer Greg Barbrick called their first LP, quote, a pitch-perfect album that was manna from heaven, close quote. He went on to state that the band was, quote, hearkening back to the British invasion. To be honest, there is not a bad cut among the bunch, close quote. I have always thought the exact same thing about that amazing album. In addition to mentioning the two 2020 tracks we have previously played here on Alt Universe Top 40, writer Barbrick stated in his article for the Seattle PI that another highlight from that album was this song, a blast of guitar rock energy called She's an Obsession. The song that, at the very least, should have reached number 10 in Billboard, Cashbox, Record World, and in England. That was 2020 and She's an Obsession, written by band member Steve Allen and produced by Earl Mankey.
Number nine.
At number 9, we have a million-selling single on the United Artists label that was co-written by 7 songwriters. Those co-writers were all members of a funk band from Long Beach, California that at one point became the backing group for former lead singer of the Animals, Eric Burdon. In fact, the New Musical Express raved about their first live performance, which took place in London's Hyde Park, calling them, quote, the best live band we've ever seen, close quote. This group was also on the bill with Jimi Hendrix at his last live performance, with Hendrix joining them on stage during their last 30 or so minutes. Sadly, Jimi Hendrix died the very next day. Not long after that, Eric Burdon left them, but they continued on without him and soon were experiencing more success than they ever had with him. From the summer of 1975 comes this single, which peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Soul chart. Cashbox survey on its way up to a peak of number 5 in Cashbox, 6 in Billboard, and 5 in Record World. That was War with their reggae-influenced track produced by Jerry Goldstein, Why Can't We Be Friends?
Alt-Universe Top 40! Auden and Grace should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a selection that is both modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is a soundtrack song by one of the grunge era's most celebrated vocalists, Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam. Back in 2007, Pearl Jam frontman Eddie Vedder was approached by Sean Penn to provide the music for a motion picture. That motion picture was Into the Wild, which Penn was directing. Eddie agreed to do it and entered Studio X in Seattle with producer Adam Kasper. He quickly wrote lyrics and overdubbed various instruments, co-producing a group of folk rock songs with Kasper. One of those songs turned out to be the single Hard Sun, which was released on J Records and reached number 17 on the Modern Rock Tracks chart. We believe that it should have reached number 8 on both the Modern Rock Tracks chart and the Billboard Hot 100. Here is Eddie Vedder.
When I walk beside her, I am the better man. When I look to leave her, I always stagger back again. Once I built an ivory tower so I could worship from above. When I climbed down to be set free, she took me in again. There's a big hot sun beating on the big people in a big hot world. When she comes to greet me, she is mercy at my feet, yeah. When I see her
arms, she just throws it back at me. Once I dug an early grave to find a better land, she just smiled and laughed at me and took her bruise back again.
Song Hard Sun, which is both modern and great and should have reached number 8. That was Eddie Vedder. Incidentally, promotional copies of Hard Sun were distributed to Modern Rock Radio on the 34th installment of Jim Nelson's Taste of AAA. That compilation happened to also include selections by Steve Earle, Will Hogue, and the live version of my song by The Trend, Mama Thought You Were a Nice Girl, the melody of which became the jingle to this very radio show. It is amazing how everything in music is in some way connected.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. It is a jumpy early rock and roll selection recorded on the Gone Records label by a spunky female vocalist that grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, Joanne Campbell. Joanne was born on July 20th, 1938. By the time she was 4 years old, she was attending a music school. By age 16, she was touring Europe in a dance troupe. When that tour was over, she joined the Johnny Conrad Dancers in New York and appeared on television shows such as The Milton Berle Show and The Colgate Comedy Hour. Soon, though, she stopped dancing and put all of her creative efforts into her budding singing career. Her debut single for RKO Records, Wherever You Go, was not a success. However, once she released her second single, Come On Baby, she was invited to perform at the Brooklyn Paramount and made an appearance on American Bandstand. During her next phase, she appeared in the movies Go Johnny Go in 1959 and Hey Let's Twist in 1962. That led to two successful singles for Gone Records, the label that signed her after her contract with RKO expired without being renewed. The single we are getting ready to play only made it up to number 88. But the relative unexpected failure of this single is not what caused Joanne to leave the music business. Her swift exit from the world of music happened when she met a producer for Atlantic Records named Troy. Not long thereafter, she and Troy got married and she simply retired as a performer. In addition to producing for Atlantic, Troy Seals also wrote songs. He supported the family with royalties from his songs that were recorded by Elvis Presley, Roy Orbison, Jerry Lee Lewis, Conway Twitty, George Jones, Randy Travis, and Hank Williams Jr. And if the name Troy Seals sounds familiar, it might be because Troy comes from that extremely talented Seals family, the family that also included Brady Seals of Little Texas, Dan Seals, the vocalist better known as England Dan from the duo England Dan and John Ford Coley, and, yes, Jim Seals of Seals and Crofts, who we heard back at number 40 just a few minutes ago. Well, here is Jim Seals' sister-in-law, Joanne Campbell, with our little slice of heaven at number 7, Nervous.
I get nervous when I look at you. I get the shakes no matter what you do. And every single time you kiss me too, I get nervous. I'm like a torch, you're my burning flame. Your hot looks are driving me insane. And every single time you call my name, I get nervous.
Our little slice of heaven at number 7, that was Joanne Campbell and her bouncy mixture of pop, rock, and rockabilly, Nervous. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. G from Belgium heard our 7440 broadcast on his Alinco DX R8T receiver with 4-meter mini whip antennas. He reports 45444 and indicates a good signal with moderate propagation disturbance. He said he was happy to hear us on shortwave and tells us that his location is about 100 kilometers from Brussels near the Luxembourg border. Well, G, we are thrilled that you have found us, and we certainly hope that you receive many enjoyable transmissions in the future. Vasily from the Samara region of Russia heard our 6070 broadcast on a web SDR out of the Netherlands. He reports 55545 and states that he used a single mini whip antenna with his unit. He also attached a wave file that included an air check so that we could hear how we sounded to him. Well, Vasily, we appreciate your report and love the air check. We hope that you continue to hear music that you like on shortwave. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. This 4-man melodic rock band has accomplished that feat in both the United States and Japan, and they definitely qualify. Back in June of 1980, Rockford, Illinois natives Cheap Trick issued a 4-song EP pressed onto 10-inch vinyl during an ill-conceived promotional campaign by Epic Records. Epic pressed tracks by a couple of their recently successful acts onto records that were the same size as old 78s. These odd records held at least 2 songs per side and were called new discs, with new being spelled N-U. I bought one of these new discs, but the novelty wore off quickly. quickly. Nothing could change my own personal preference for vinyl 45s. While the 10-inch format flopped, one of the tracks from Cheap Trick's new disc received extremely heavy airplay on American rock radio stations such as KOME San Jose, KQRS in Minneapolis, and WLUP in Chicago. The track getting all the attention was a cover song originally recorded live by the band specifically to be released to FM rock radio. But because the band was not satisfied with the results of their live performance, they went into the studio with producer Jack Douglas and completely re-recorded the track. Then, using some leftover crowd noise from their enormously successful live album from 2 years earlier, they created a fake live recording. Foolishly, Epic Records did not cash in on that great idea, since the track was only available on the new disc. Nevertheless, we believe that it should have been released as a single on a 45 and should have reached number 6. Their cover of Day Tripper, our bonus hit at number 6, that was Cheap Trick, led by Rick Nielsen, one of the 5 guitarists we heard on Man With No Hands by Richard Orange just last week.
Number 5.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Now we are up to number 5. As I just mentioned, last week's number 5 was Man With No Hands by Richard Orange, a track that featured 5 guitarists. And with the Cheap Trick selection that we just played at number 6, we heard some more guitar work by one of those 5 guitarists, Rick Nielsen. Well, for this week's number 5, we have an album track by a soul instrumentalist and vocalist, Deborah Coleman, that features another one of those 5 guitarists. Before I confirm the name of the ever-present musician that assisted Deborah on guitar, I must also mention that Reba Russell, the amazing blues singer who released a song we played about a year ago, This Old Town, sang background vocals on this bluesy soul recording called So Damn Easy. Reba Russell on background vocals and the ever-present Jack Holder on guitar. That was Deborah Coleman and a track at number 5 that she recorded in Memphis for Blind Pig Records, So Damn Easy.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we're going to play a song that performed considerably better on the British charts than it did in the United States. However, today, we're going to flip things around and play a song that did considerably better in the U.S. than it did in England. One of the reasons this song did so well in the United States was its enormously popular video on MTV. It was placed in heavy rotation the very moment it was released. In terms of musical star power, this video was absolutely loaded with members of various groups, four of whom happened to be successful record producers. In slightly over 3 minutes, the viewer can see two members of the Beatles, two members of Mudcrutch, two members of the Heartbreakers, three members of the Traveling Wilburys, one member of Rory Storm and the Hurricanes, one member of The Move, and one member of the Electric Light Orchestra. While you may think that it took a 12-person cast to get all those members in, when your cast is George Harrison, Ringo Starr, Jeff Lynne, Mike Campbell, and Tom Petty, you've got a video group that is covering a lot of musical territory.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of down, gonna
with a song that peaked at number 1 on the mainstream rock tracks chart, number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100, and number 28 in England. That was Tom Petty and a song that he co-wrote with Jeff Lynne, I Won't Back Down.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown. And today we're talking about downtown Chicago, Illinois, home of a group whose single Not This One sounded a little bit like the Rolling Stones to me the first time I heard it many years ago. The actual group that cut this single, The Dirty Words, were all 16 or 17 years old at the time they formed. They began by playing bluegrass songs, but quickly went electric and caught on to the sound of The Stones, them, and another group from the Chicago area, The Shadows of Night. By 1966, they cut a single called Why that was called by writer Derek C., quote, one of the most intense slabs of punk rock ever committed to wax, close quote. Later that same year, they released Not This One, a song that never made the top 40 in Billboard, Cashbox, or Record World, but certainly should have.
Saying you won't get this one. But I love this girl too much. Got the blues.
Featuring late drummer Bob Carter. Those were The Dirty Words from 1966 and our 3 from way downtown, Not This One.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a track that we think should have gone to number 1. It is a song that was co-written by a heartbreaker that we mentioned a moment ago, Mike Campbell, and an eagle, Don Henley. Back in the early 80s, Mike Campbell, who had written a number of songs with his longtime friend and collaborator Tom Petty, came up with a haunting set of chord changes and an instrumental melody. According to Mike, quote, I used to have a 4-track machine in my house, and I had just gotten a drum machine. machine. I was playing around with that and came up with a rhythm. I made the demo on my little four-track and I showed it to Tom, but at the time, the record we were working on, Southern Accents, it didn't really sound like anything that would fit into the album. The producer we were working with at the time, Jimmy Iovine, came up to me one day and said he had spoken with Don Henley, who I'd never met, and said that Don was looking for songs. He gave me Don's number and I called him up and played it for him. He called me the next day and said he put it in his car and had written these words and wanted to record it. Close quote.
Nobody on the road, nobody on the beach. I feel it in the air, the summer's out of reach. Empty lake, empty streets, the sun goes down alone. I'm driving by your house, though I know you're not.
Number two with a song that peaked at number five on the Billboard Hot 100, but should have reached number one on that survey, just as it did on the mainstream Rock Tracks airplay chart, that was Don Henley and his best-loved recording outside of the Eagles, The Boys of Summer.
Number one. 1.
Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number 1. It is one of the first singles to be described as Baroque pop and one of the few rock singles to be produced by a classical violinist, Harry Lukofsky. Lukofsky's son, Michael Brown, was in a rock group and he had just met their bass player's new girlfriend. Michael was smitten but could not jeopardize the chemistry of the band. So, believing that he was truly in love, he did what any frustrated musician would do. He wrote a song about her. In fact, he wrote 3 songs about her. One of those songs was She May Call You Up Tonight, originally recorded by Michael's band, but covered in the version we heard a few slots back by Ian Matthews. Another of the songs was called Pretty Ballerina, a song that was moderately successful on the charts. When Michael's band was in the studio to record the most successful song he wrote about his forbidden crush, bass player Tom Finn actually brought her to the studio, which caused Michael even more frustration. According to Michael, quote, "My hands were shaking when I tried to play because she was right there in the control room. There was no way I could do it with her around, so I came back and did it later," close quote. With our Hall of Perfection track at number 1, that was The Left Bank and their undisputed classic of Baroque pop, Walk Away Renee, one of 3 songs written about a beautiful free-spirited girl named Renee Fladen Cam, who, in real life, became a teacher and an artist. That's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.